2. The Father's eternal perfection. Even your olden prophets understood the eternal, never beginning, never ending, circular nature of the universal Father. God is literally and eternally present in His universe of universes. He inhabits the present moment with all His absolute majesty and eternal greatness. The Father has life in Himself, and this life is eternal life. Throughout the eternal ages it has been the Father who gives to all life. There is infinite perfection in the divine integrity. I am the Lord, I change not. Our knowledge of the universe of universes discloses not only that He is the Father of lights, but also that in His conduct of interplanetary affairs there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. He declares the end from the beginning. He says, "My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasures according to the eternal purpose which I purposed in my Son." Thus are the plans and purposes of the first source and center like Himself, eternal, perfect, and forever changeless. There is finality of completeness and perfection of repleteness in the mandates of the Father. Whatsoever God does, it shall be forever, nothing can be added to it nor anything taken from it. The Universal Father does not repent of His original purposes of wisdom and perfection. His plans are steadfast, His counsel immutable, while His acts are divine and infallible. 1,000 years in His sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. The perfection of divinity and the magnitude of eternity are forever beyond the full grasp of the circumscribed mind of mortal man. The reactions of a changeless God, in the execution of His eternal purpose, may seem to vary in accordance with the changing attitude and the shifting minds of His created intelligences, that is, they may apparently and superficially vary. But underneath the surface and beneath all outward manifestations, there is still present the changeless purpose, the everlasting plan, of the eternal God. Out in the universes, perfection must necessarily be a relative term, but in the central universe and especially on paradise, perfection is undiluted. In certain phases it is even absolute. Trinity manifestations vary the exhibition of the divine perfection but do not attenuate it. God's primal perfection consists not in an assumed righteousness but rather in the inherent perfection of the goodness of His divine nature. He is final, complete, and perfect. There is no thing lacking in the beauty and perfection of His righteous character. And the whole scheme of living existences on the worlds of space is centered in the divine purpose of elevating all will creatures to the high destiny of the experience of sharing the Father's paradise perfection. God is neither self-centered nor self-contained. He never ceases to bestow Himself upon all self-conscious creatures of the vast universe of universes. God is eternally and infinitely perfect. He cannot personally know imperfection as His own experience. But He does share the consciousness of all the experience of imperfectness of all the struggling creatures of the evolutionary universes of all the Paradise Creator Sons. The personal and liberating touch of the God of perfection overshadows the hearts and encircuits the natures of all those mortal creatures who have ascended to the universe level of moral discernment. In this manner, as well as through the contacts of the Divine Presence, the Universal Father actually participates in the experience with immaturity and imperfection in the evolving career of every mortal being of the entire universe. Human limitations, potential evil, are not a part of the divine nature, but mortal experience with evil and all man's relations thereto are most certainly a part of God's ever-expanding self-realization in the children of time, Creatures of moral responsibility who have been created or evolved by every creator son going out from paradise.